this is A Country Breakfast on RN. I'm Edwina Farley. Have you ever thought you'd got a great idea, but you didn't know how to turn your dream into reality? Well, this morning we're going to meet some regional businesses who are in the mix for money to help them do just that, like Crowd Carnivore.
The farmer is getting paid top dollar for his or her animal. Right now we have beef and lamb. We're about to bring on pork. And the consumer's getting a great price. We've just cut out the tired and bloated supply chain of the supermarkets.
He's not pulling any punches. We're talking bespoke meat, gourmet flower petals, and big data coming your way. First, though, for a look at the rural news around the nation. Good morning, Brett Worthington.
Hello, Edwina. Surely bespoked must have been a close second to post-truth in terms of word of the year.
I love it. It makes me feel all Kevin MacLeod.
Everything's bespoked in my mind now.
Except the wheat crop.
Well, exactly. And there's a huge amount of it. The commodity forecaster ABARES put out its latest report this week, and it said that Australia is still on track for a record harvest wheat crop this year, 32.6 million tonnes. It'll be up 35% on last year, and quite impressive given the variables farmers have had to deal with in recent months. In the west, you've had those frosts that have really crippled crops. You've had all that rain in central west New South Wales, waterlogged paddocks. And the good news really came in Victoria's wheat belt, where a region that's been hit hard by years of drought, and finally growers got conditions that worked for them. Rain when they sowed their crop, rain towards the end of the season, and that really filled up. And look, it's not over yet. You've got to get the crop off, and then you've got to get to the selling point. But things are looking much better than a year ago.
And one of the most dramatic places where we've seen this kind of, you know, highs, lows roller coaster is in Victoria.
So in Rapanya, it's just outside of Horsham. It's right in the heart of the Wimmera and right throughout the wheat belt of Victoria. And we spoke about a grower earlier in the year. Dave Morgan is his name. He had 2 years of drought, and then he broke his neck just before crops had to be sowed. And there was this really stellar community effort where people came and sowed his crops during the night before then going about sowing their own crops during the day. And for him, 6 months on, he's now looking at a totally different outlook.
We didn't harvest a single grain last year. The year before, we should have cut it for hay, but we put it through to grain, and that was a disaster. This year, there were tractors getting bogged everywhere, but we had to do a few U-turns and stay out of a few parts of the paddock. It's going to be some record yields. Yeah, forever grateful.
And you can just hear the size of the crop. It's up to your knee. It's last year in the Wimmera, and even the year before, there were crops that were barely ankle height. So it's a total different situation. The sad bit about it is, I guess, prices are a bit rubbish this year because of this huge oversupply of grain globally. But, you know, it's not like dairy. You can store it and then sell it at a later date.
It's just such a beautiful story of community spirit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And even over on South Australia's west coast, they're in for a great season as well. Some people either didn't sow crops last year, or some just didn't even bother harvesting because things just went so poorly. Tess Walsh is over there on the Eyre Peninsula, and she's saying that some growers are even looking at new records this year.
Everyone's, I think, thrilled with the yields this year. A few people are telling me it's the best they've ever seen, which is really exciting. I think also the quality profile of the crop's possibly a little better than people had forecast coming into harvest.
And talking of records, we've been speaking a lot this year about the price of cattle.
And interestingly, in this story, Rural Bank crunched the numbers. And so there's been huge gains this year, which we've talked about a lot, because you've had less cattle around, because during the drought, people offloaded them. So with the supply down, it meant that prices obviously went up. And Rural Bank has found that their Eastern Young Cattle Indicator, that's the industry benchmark, it averaged 27% higher this year than it did last year. There was also a 50% it's 50% up on the 5-year average. But why my big takeout from this is we talk a lot about Northern Australia in terms of where the gains are in the beef and cattle sectors. Victoria, Tasmania and Western Australia were where all of the really big growths and the big price rises that you saw this year were. The downside was that because of that lack of supply, you did see a 21% drop off in exports, and particularly because exports to the US fell. They were down more than 40%. So that's why you weren't necessarily seeing the numbers leaving Australia that you might have in other years.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it, getting those figures on the states that we sort of didn't expect, and almost 50% higher than their five-year average. Like, that's just remarkable gains. Happy Christmas for them.
Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, looking at going to next year, like, it looks like the early reports are suggesting that lamb prices will be quite good for farmers as well, because you'll have less supply, increasing consumer demand. So it's obviously good for the farmer. Bad news for, though, if you're cooking a lamb roast, you can expect the prices would go up.
Oh, well, that's all right. Suck it up, people. Eat less. Or create some kind of 3D printed meat.
So slurry, maybe, yeah. Meat ink, as they call it. I heard an idea about this a couple of years ago in Horsham, where they suggested, you know, with 3D printing, you could get a bug slurry and use that to print a steak.
Sorry, a bug slurry.
So you could just crush it up, because obviously bugs are readily available and lots of them. You could then reduce the amount of beef that we were consuming. Look, I don't think it's necessarily going to take off in that form.
I heard someone talking about eating insects the other day, and they tried to liken a locust to a prawn.
Well, I've tried many.
Locusts?
Well, I don't know if I've tried a locust, but I've tried a lot of others, and they're just crunchy. Fry it, it's fine. I don't know about the nutritional benefit that you'll get from it.
Yeah, fried insects.
See,
fantastic.
I'll eat that, but I won't eat an oyster. So. What a hypocrite.
Oh, my God.
So here in Australia, meat and livestock have been looking at what's happening in Germany, where they're 3D printing chicken meat. And so they're saying it's soft as butter, which is just, I love butter, but that's a horrible thought. And they're supplying it to thousands of nursing homes. And Sean Starling from MLA is saying there's the potential to tailor that idea and supply fancy restaurants or vending machines or even aged care facilities with this so-called meat ink.
A high protein ink which has come from meat. You could have a sugar ink. You could have a fat ink. And that by actually using those different ink pots in a 3D printer, you can actually develop food that's tailored for a certain calorific value or a certain fat value.
A fat ink.
It's brilliant science, but how many buckets of red wine would you need to wash that down? Oof. I'm just not sure. Now, some very progressive moves underway at a dairy in northern New South Wales.
Norco is the dairy cooperative in northern New South Wales, like you were saying, and they've decided to bring in domestic violence leave for its employees. It will allow people to get 3 days of paid leave to access a medical appointment and other services. And it's understood that this is one of the first manufacturing companies in regional Australia to offer a program like this for its employees. The chief executive, Brett Kelly, simply says he just thinks it's the right thing to do.
You know, you need to look after and work with your employees, and it's really important that, you know, we have that environment where people can feel safe and they know that they've got a employer who does really care.
Yeah, some all good thoughts to them. It's a terrific thing to do. This one caught my eyes for all the wrong reasons, Brett. Something about biosecurity and condoms.
Oh, I'm glad you went. I was wondering if you were going to say it or not. Ed. A giant condom, nonetheless.
Giant.
So the theory goes that you need to treat biosecurity like you would with safe sex, and that you would use a condom for safe sex practices. So you should think about that idea on your farm and protect your property in a biosecure manner. Let's just hear the audio and then we might be able to explain it from there. This is Marie Vitelli from the rural lobby group AgForce.
It's a bit like if with sexually transmitted diseases these days, you kind of think about wearing a condom to prevent you being contaminated by other people's pests and diseases, but also to contain any that you might have on your property. So I just wanted people to kind of start thinking about farm biosecurity planning.
It's a stroke of genius,
I honestly think you're right. I think it is genius because it raised eyebrows at the forum and it got people talking about farm biosecurity. So even if you're having a laugh about the lady talking about the giant condom, the thought here being that people need to take biosecurity seriously. You saw what happened with the banana industry where you had the fungus come in, Panama Tropical Race 4. It led to the industry having to buy out a farm and then destroy all the plants because they had to contain this fungus. So the argument here goes that you need to be thinking about this stuff seriously and doing all the measures on your property that you can to isolate and protect yourself from possible incursions.
Absolutely, and it works in both directions. You're both protecting yourself from other people's incursions and also keeping your own in.
That's right. You saw what happened with Hendra, like how quickly these things can happen and get away. So it is an interesting
And I have argument. never had a story about farm biosecurity catch so many headlines in one day, can I just say? It was a stroke of genius. Nice work, Marie. Yeah, 2016 award to you. Now, still on interesting kind of stories, there is a French dung beetle and it is deadly.
And it's here to help. So a good friend is British and he's having some troubles with the Australian summer at the moment, particularly with flies. And so now there's hope that a French dung beetle will help eliminate flies from southern Australia within a decade, completely eradicated.
Wow.
So the dung beetle is the one that it feeds and buries on cowpats, and that's usually a breeding ground for the bush fly. And they've had some success in South Australia with the dung beetle during certain times of the year. And so now Bernard Daube is hoping that he can bring in this French species in the hope that they might be able to offer a year-round solution.
We are hoping that when we get these spring beetles established and abundant across southern Australia, this fly problem, which is bothering me at the moment, will be a thing of the past.
They are particularly bad this year.
It can't come soon enough,
no.
If you ask me.
Bring on bonjour this way.
Your
that was
French
a terrible French accent, by the way.
It's much better than mine, and I'm very pleased that you did it and I didn't have to.
I was waiting for you to get all Francois on me, Brett. Come on.
No, I'll go and have a croissant now, I think, Edwina.
Croissant. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Brett. You can find out more about those stories via the RN homepage. Just look for Country Breakfast under the Programs tab.